Will you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, reading from the 32nd chapter. Genesis 32, verses 24 through 30. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 30. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Our subject this morning: men who refuse to take no for an answer. It is another service that we trust will be a prelude to revival. Precious Savior, we believe that we need this word this morning. We do not come casually or indifferently. We come on purpose to share with these, your people, the message thou hast challenged us with in these days of preparation. We pray now that all of its intended benefits will be realized in each life today. In thy name we pray. Amen. The great things of this world have not been accomplished by men who were willing to take no for an answer. The great and significant things of this world have been accomplished by men who, in spite of overwhelming odds, who in spite of circumstances that seem to say no, who in spite of people who said no, men who believed so strongly in the rightness of their cause that they have refused to take no for an answer. The Bible is a literal anthology of this type of man. For example, the one called Abraham. You may recall the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The record is in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. God had made his purpose clear. He was going to destroy these two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their exceeding wickedness. The Bible indicates to us that there comes a time when God's judgment will be at hand. There comes a time when God says, "That is enough. There will be no more. My arm of judgment is going to fall." Sodom and Gomorrah had ample time to repent and turn back to God, but they did not. They, as a result, were destroyed Doom had been pronounced. But Genesis 18 and 22 reads, even after God had pronounced doom on these two cities, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham, what are you waiting for? Haven't you heard the verdict? Go on home. Forget about it. It's all over. These cities are going to be destroyed. But Abraham was not the kind of man who took no for an answer when he felt his cause was just. He had some relatives living in those cities and he didn't want them to die. So he prevailed upon the Lord to spare the city on behalf of the righteous who lived there. Well, after much intercessory prayer, God agreed to spare the city if 10 righteous people could be found living there. Well, even though they searched and they sought to find just 10 righteous people in this wicked city, they couldn't find 10 people. And even though they couldn't find the 10, as we read the account, we discover that at least Abraham's relatives were spared. For Genesis 19 and 29 reads, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot, his relative, out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Abraham prevailed with prayer and was victorious because he refused to take no for an answer. I fear perhaps you and perhaps myself have some relatives whose lives need to be spared so they can find God. And perhaps we've given up on them. Perhaps it's been so long since they have responded to the gospel call that we've actually taken no as the answer concerning their salvation. But I say to you this morning in this service that is a prelude to revival, let's refuse to be discouraged. Let's refuse to take no for an answer regarding those of our own household and those who are called our relatives. Lot was a dead man, but Abraham prevailed in prayer until God was convinced he really meant business and was willing to pay the price to see Lot saved. Lot was spared. And we all have relatives who are in need of God, and we all get discouraged. But my encouragement to you this morning is this: do not give up. Be among those who refuse to take no for an answer and continue to prevail in prayer until you see the blessed answer come. Abraham's relatives were spared because he refused to take no for an answer. was in that condition that our choir sang about this morning when they talked about the one who is thirsty for the things of God. He just wasn't getting anywhere spiritually. But finally one night he got a fresh grip on heaven. He began to wrestle with that angel that we read of in our scripture. He felt that if he could just hold on to that angel long enough, he would be refreshed in his soul and receive a blessing from God. We do not really understand all of the information that is brought to us through this encounter with this angel. But the angel tried to get away. But Jacob hung on and said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He refused to take no for an answer. And as a result, God did bless him through this heavenly being, and he was spiritually refreshed. I say to you this morning, if your soul is dry and thirsty, if it's been a long time since the showers of heavenly blessing flooded your soul, get a hold of heaven and hang on in prayer until God is assured you really mean it, and until you're sure you really mean it. And I believe with all my heart the blessing of God will be forthcoming. Simply refuse to take no for an answer. In this little story of Jacob and the angel, I do not know why God had him wrestle with this heavenly being. But I think he may have wanted Jacob to have clarity of purpose. He may have wanted him to know at that moment, just what is it you do want, Jacob? What is it you do want out of life? And as Jacob had this encounter with this heavenly being, it became abundantly clear to him that what he wanted more than anything else in the world was the blessing of God upon his heart and life. And so he began to prevail in the contest until he was assured that he had this blessing of God. And I share with you this morning the fact that it is essential for us to have that same clarity of purpose. What are the most important things in life to you? What do you need more than anything else in this world? I can tell you what you need more than anything else in this world is the fresh blessing of God upon your soul from day to day. It's essential if we expect to work effectively in the kingdom. For if we are a people who are cold and indifferent and unconcerned and unconvinced and negative about everything and everybody, and everything you're asked to do is a big deal and a big effort, friend, you need a fresh blessing on your soul. I say to you this morning, prevail in prayer until God sends you your blessing. Notice in Genesis 33, an immediate consequence of Jacob's blessing was the fact that he and his brother made peace. Remember, there had been great discord between these two, but now there was peace. There's something about having the blessing of God on your life that enables you to get along with your brother. You say, "Well, I'm having a little problem in this area." Well, I suggest to you that you prevail in prayer until you have the fresh blessing of God on your heart and life. For I believe that kind of experience will help you to live at peace with your brother. But another graphic example of a man who refused to take no for an answer is found in the person of Moses. Over in Exodus 32, we find God utterly finished with these disobedient Israelites. God says, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, Moses, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Moses, forget about these sinners. Not everybody's going to make it anyhow. Let them die in their sins. You're going to heaven. You'll have the best things in life. Why be concerned for these backsliders? But Moses was concerned for others. He wanted to see them saved. He wasn't content to be enjoying a good experience with God by himself. He wanted to share it with his people. So he prayed, "Oh God, I don't believe you've let them live this long to slay them now. Oh God, spare them. Spare their lives." And as he prevailed in prayer, he refused to take no for an answer. And as a result of his prayer, God did spare these people. But I must tell you this morning, there are those all around us on their way to hell. And it looks like we might be saying, there's nothing we can do. But let's refuse to take no for an answer. Let's prevail in prayer before the God of Moses until he saves their souls through Christ. I don't know for whom you are burdened in this coming revival. But I believe that when a man comes before the Lord as Moses did and says, I will pay any price to see my people spared, I believe that kind of man of intercession gets his prayers answered. And I say to you today, if there is someone for whom you are burdened in this community, why not make it a matter of intercessory prayer in these remaining days before revival? And regardless of what kind of discouraging events may take place, you just be accounted among those who refuse to take no for an answer. The disciples were among these. They refused to take no for an answer. They waited in that upper room several days for the coming of the Holy Spirit. There is that traditional site in Jerusalem. I don't know if it's the exact site or not, where the upper room was. There is reconstructed there now another building, and there is still there an upper room. And as I stood in that room a few weeks ago, it occurred to me that these disciples we read of in the early church were flesh and blood men, just like we are this morning. They were there in a physical place, a physical room. We tend to spiritualize all of this as though it happened in Never Never Land, as though such reality was not associated with the event. But as I stood there, I realized they were just flesh and blood men who refused to take no for an answer and who prevailed in prayer for the Holy Spirit to come upon their hearts and lives, real men in a real place seeking a real experience from a God who really lives and lives yet this day. They knew their needs. They could have prayed a little while and gone on, but they didn't do it. Their need was too great. Their desire too strong. They simply refused to take no for an answer. And they prayed on until the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon them, satisfying the deep spiritual needs of their souls. They could have said in that period of waiting that it looks as though Jesus has changed his mind. Let's leave this place. We're wasting our time. Will not be changed men after this experience. But they weren't prepared for defeat. They were prepared for victory. They refused to take no for an answer. I don't know about you this morning, but I know for one person, I do not like talk of defeat. I don't like talk of defeat. I don't like talking about losing. I remember a number of years back during the Eisenhower administration, they were secretly drawing up some plans for an orderly surrender of our country in the event we lost some future war. Being practical men, they simply said, you know, it's entirely possible that another nation could declare war upon us, and it's entirely possible we could lose that war. So wouldn't it be a good thing to have on file some plan for an orderly surrender and an exchange of government? And so they proceeded to draw this up just for future reference. But somehow the secret got out. And when it began to hit in various circles that our government was drawing up plans for potential retreat in future wars, the people became enraged about it, for they did not want to admit the possibility of defeat. And I'll tell you this morning, I'm kind of like that.
I don't like to give any thought to plans for an orderly retreat when we're talking about spiritual warfare especially. It may be all right for man-made armies, but not God-made armies. And the Word of God tells us we are the Lord's army. Perhaps we've looked around us and said, there is no victory in my life. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. And down in our hearts, we find that we're fighting a holding action. We're just trying to conserve previous gains. In effect, we have maybe said, we'll just take it for granted that nothing with the ring of real victory is going to happen in my life. And I can assure you this morning that will be the case. Unless we, like those we have talked about this morning, become a veritable army of men and women and boys and girls who, like they, refuse to take no for an answer. Defeat, not for us. Stagnation, not for us. Increase, yes, that's our goal. That's for us. That's the language we like to hear. Increase and growth and development and victory. We like to hear that. But fighting this kind of battle is work. And I'm looking for those soldiers of the cross this morning who will pray for lost relatives as Abraham did. Soldiers of the cross who will pray for God's blessing on their own souls as Jacob did. Soldiers of the cross who will pray for sinners as Moses did. Soldiers of the cross who will pray until God's Spirit is poured upon us as the disciples did now many years ago. Soldiers of the cross who refuse to take no for an answer. Soldiers of the cross who will continue to work for spiritual increase and success in this local church. And I would ask you, are you a part of that group this morning? Are you prepared to fight to the finish, regardless of the odds? I want to go on record as saying that I believe I am. I ask you to join me in this battle for eternal victories today. If you will, your soul will grow, and this church will continue its successful forward march for the cause of Jesus Christ. I agree with the one who said it's time to think it through and understand more clearly that we cannot have victory in social issues until we have victory in spiritual issues. We cannot have the good world that we want without being the good people God wants. We are people with 1,000 years of Christian teaching in our minds. We are the descendants of people who looked into the face of Christ, were lifted out of savagery by his light, and came to this new world to make his dream come true. We cannot forget that overnight, and we must not forget. Our deepest wish is that all of us will be like the young soldier in the Civil War who got sick on the battlefield and was taken to the hospital tent. Lying there in a cot, he pleaded with the doctor, "Oh, doctor, don't tell me I'm not fit for duty. Don't tell me that I can't go back. It's only a touch of the fever, and the sound of the bugle will make me well again." And I ask you this morning to consider the fact that this is the kind of spirit that we need. This is what the world is listening for. A lifting up of a great purpose. A clear and positive blast on the bugle of the living God. Oh, be an aggressive soldier of the cross in the army of the Lord. Let's help set the world free from its bondage to sin. Jesus gave us our sling. He said, go and tell. And we want to be among those who help set the captives free. John Bunyan put it in a little picture in a book, which of course in England came to be second only to the Bible in importance. He called it Pilgrim's Progress. And if you've forgotten the little picture that I want you to remember this morning, let me kind of paraphrase the situation for you. In my dream, I saw a man clothed with rags, with a book in his hand, and a great burden on his back. I saw him run up the highway, not without great difficulty, because of the burden on his back. But when he came to the cross, the burden loosed from his shoulders, fell from his back into the sepulcher, and I saw it no more. Then he gave three leaps for joy and went on singing. This is, in effect, been the story of every child of God, prisoners of our sin burden, set free in the light of the cross and sin-canceling power of the Christ of the empty tomb. The world may say, no, we do not want your Christ. But let us be among those who refuse to take no for an answer, in order that we might have the thrill of seeing many souls give three leaps for joy and go on their way singing as Jesus sets them free from sin. Just a very few weeks ago, I met a man who has just recently been set free. The situation was rather simple. He was the business partner of a born-again Christian, Nazarene. This Nazarene was the kind of fellow I guess I'm talking about this morning. He just refused to take no for an answer and kept doing everything he knew to do to expose his partner to the truth of the gospel. He finally got him into a revival service in the Church of the Nazarene. And as he heard the gospel story proclaimed by one of our evangelists, right there in that service, he gave his heart and life to Jesus. When he was later questioned and asked, what made you finally surrender and give your heart and life to Christ? He said, well, I guess the main thing would be, I've watched my partner live the life for years. I decided I want what he's got. For years, his partner refused to take no for an answer. Imagine his joy when he recently heard his partner talking on the phone to his friend, the governor of his state. He told the governor, I've joined up with the Nazarene. I say to you this morning, never settle for no as your answer. Be among the daring soldiers of the cross, the company of the committed, who will strive for valiant victory in the name of our great leader, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you preparing for revival? Are you thinking about it every day? Are you praying about it every day? Are you establishing some personal goals that you'd like to see accomplished in your own life and in the life of others during this revival? Oh, whatever kind of preparation you may be making, I hope it is spirit-led preparation. But at the heart of it, I hope there will be this great purpose, that you will be among those who refuse to take no for an answer, not satisfied until you find the great yes of Jesus Christ in response to the needs in your own heart and the needs of those who are around you. Let us stand together for prayer. We invite you to remain standing following the prayer for our choral benediction. Precious Savior, we are grateful this morning that you can put great purpose in our hearts, great determination in our souls. There are so many needs before us. Personal needs, needs of our people. But we believe the kind of thing we've talked about this morning can make the difference.
We ask that you'll help us to not let go until we can say with Jacob of old, we've seen God face to face. We need that kind of blessing. Pour out thy spirit on dry and thirsty ground this morning, we pray. May all of us who stand here in divine presence be aware of the fact you can meet our every need, but we must mean it. We must desire it. We must seek the answer with all that there is in us. When we do, the answer will come. We are grateful for your ministry to us through this morning worship service, and pray that thy continued blessings will be upon us throughout this day. Bring us back to thy house this evening, that we might again be able to confront the claims of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.